Always happy to be joined by Pierre Maguire, live from the Bubble in Edmonton, a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group. How are you doing this morning, Pierre?
I'm always good when I talk to you, JR. Good morning to you. Hello, Sean.
All right, Pierre, how many games did you end up doing yesterday when it was all said and done?
Yesterday I only did one. I watched all three that were here, and I watched two from the East Coast. So I watched a lot of hockey. The day before I did three, and the day before that I did two.
Nice. How is your work schedule gonna lay itself out in terms of the number of games you're gonna end up doing?
After tomorrow, I would say probably two per day. Obviously, you got to wait to see how everything falls out, but I would say probably two per day.
All right. What do you got on the agenda for today?
Just one, the late game, Minnesota-Vancouver. Okay. I'll be at the rink for all the games, but I had the one game late tonight.
Yeah. So take us behind the scenes. You're inside the bubble. A lot of us are curious. We're seeing it through our televisions, and things appear to be so well organized. What's it like to be in the middle of all of it?
Really well organized, number one. The professionalism of everybody, the healthcare workers that do all of the testing every day, the setup at the arena, the NHL staff, everything's been unbelievably well run. The hotel staff has been amazing. I can't say enough good things about everything that's gone on here. It's really well orchestrated. And, you know, the players have really been well behaved and really respecting the process that they have to go through in order to play. It's not easy, JR. But every player gets tested every day. Everybody that's in the bubble that goes into the arena gets tested every day. There have been zero COVID positive tests so far since they started this when all the teams got here and the media people that are working in the building got here. It's really been amazing to watch the whole thing work. It really has been.
Pierre, last year was playing trains and automobiles. We'd get you in Dallas, St. Louis, San Jose, over to somewhere else. How nice has it been to hunker down? The hockey's come to you, and when you're not working, do you get into a bit of a scouting mode?
Yeah, the scouting mode for sure. It's funny, I was up writing notes yesterday, breaking down players and systems and coaching ideology, and one of the cameramen came over to me and goes, "What are you doing? You're by yourself the whole time watching games." I said, "Yeah, I'm in scouting mode." He started laughing. But that's exactly what I was doing. I'm just sitting in the corner of the second level of the rink by myself watching games. It's something that I really enjoy doing. I know for most people they'd probably find it a boring exercise, but I'm fascinated by learning all the time about different coaching methods, about different in-zone coverage ideologies, about different power play entries, about different power play schemes, penalty killing schemes, what players have character, what players I think don't have any character. So I'm always watching for different things and learning as we go along. So it's been really fun, actually.
So after 3 days and 16 games so far, what's just been an overall encompassing thought on the level of hockey as we've seen so far?
Getting better almost by the minute. You can just see the timing issues are getting better. The fluid nature of the game is getting better. The intensity level has been ramped up right from the start, and that continues to evolve as well, because obviously we're in playoff situations for most of these teams, and you can see they're starting to take some of this stuff personal, which usually leads to animosity, and that's what we're starting to see in some of these series. So, or most of them. And so I just think everything's evolving in a positive manner. I talked to two members of the Vancouver Canucks yesterday and two members of the St. Louis Blues yesterday who obviously had off days, and both of those two groups, one in a playoff series with Minnesota and the other one getting a bye, both talking about the intensity level and how it's becoming extremely intense around their organizations just because, you know, the situation that's gone on. St. Louis losing in the last second to Colorado, and Vancouver losing 2-0 to Minnesota in the first game. So I would say you're just going to continually see that a very intense environment.
Do you find yourself going into fan mode when you watch McDavid play and just look at an athlete could be that much better than everybody else on the ice?
It's surreal, Sean. The second goal that he scored last night, the first one was great just because of the way he set it up and the hockey brain power that went into it. But the second one, it had nothing to do with brain power. It had to do with unbelievable athleticism. I don't know of any player that I've ever seen have that ability with that kind of speed, the quickness of his hands, and just the uncanny athleticism. It's something that you marvel at. And to be at ice level and to see the speed, it's one thing to watch it on TV. It's another thing to be there at ice level. And, you know, I'm just thinking, poor Olli Maatta, he's got no shot to stop this guy, zero. And he had none. I mean, you could see it right away. I'm like, oh, boy, if this puck bounces over McDavid's stick, that's a break for Mata. But I don't think it will, and it didn't.
Yeah, it was an incredible goal. He ends up getting a hat trick on the night. The Oilers decided to go with Mikko Koskinen. Not a huge surprise, given the fact they pulled Mike Smith in Game 1. Just a thought on Dave Tippett deciding to start Smith in Game 1 when everybody said that Koskinen not only was better in the regular season, but better in the training camp. Why do you think he went with Smith in the first place?
I think, number one, he knows his body of work unbelievably well. He coached him in Dallas. He coached him in Arizona. So he's got a pre-existing relationship with the player, number one. Number two, he's an older player. He probably had a little bit more trust in him at that point. But I give Dave credit. Eddie Olczyk and I were doing the color of that game, and we both said it virtually at the same time. In the first period, you got to pull him. And they started Mike Smith in the second, and then they ended up pulling him. I would have pulled him right after the first period and just said to Koskinen, you're going in. Had nothing to do with Mike Smith. It had to do with getting the team's attention. But I think the biggest reason why Mike probably got the start in Game 1 was just there's a sense of familiarity where Dave could go back to his time in Dallas and back to his time in Arizona and say, I know Mike, I know what he can do, and I think he's ready for this. That's probably the one thing that decided it.
Jets Flames look like old-school Smythe division. Carryover and the hate was on. Opportunity missed by Calgary, not seizing with Scheifele and Laine out.
Yeah, and they did it to themselves. I'd give Winnipeg and Paul Maurice full credit. I mean, they came with a plan. They played for one another. They didn't play for themselves. They played for one another, which is a huge part of that when you're going to come from behind. In a series, everybody's got to man up and really protect one another, and I think they did that yesterday, and they played smart, whereas Calgary, footloose and fancy free. I mean, silly penalties, Andrew Mangiapane, Sam Bennett, they're just bad, bad penalties, selfish penalties, I think. That's what I would call them, and to the players' credit, both of them stood up and said they can't be doing that, and so I give them credit for that. But, Calgary was a wasted opportunity for Calgary. That I give, again, Winnipeg full credit, man. They battled hard. They really battled hard.
Carey Price has been outstanding through two games in the Pittsburgh-Montreal mm-hmm. series. The Penguins break through, though, and get the win last night 3-1. But from what you've seen of Carey Price, can he win this series for Montreal, potentially?
If he can score, he can.
he is a good puck handler, though, right?
He's elite. But the problem, though, JR, is you can see how hard Montreal has to work just to try to stifle the Pittsburgh attacks. And because of that, they're not getting as many offensive opportunities you need to beat it. And Matt Murray's a good goalie. To beat a goalie like Matt Murray, Carey's putting as much duress on the Pittsburgh Penguins as you can imagine. I can only imagine what the coaches are saying in Pittsburgh. But the truth is that now they're starting to get into its kitchen a little bit. They're dumping them a little bit more. They're creating more crease confrontation. They're putting more duress on the Canadiens' defense. I don't know how much more Petrie and Shea Weber can give them, along with Ben Chiarot. Those three guys are giving them a ton and a chance to win along with Carey. I just don't think they have enough offensive firepower to beat Pittsburgh.
Is it as simple, Pierre, at the end of the day, Tatar, to Domi, to Drouin are going to have to step up at some point and score some big goals if they have any chance?
Well they got to get Max Domi playing. You got to move him up in the lineup. You know, play him as a fourth-line center. I don't know how that helps the process. I'd say to him, Max, we know you want to play center, but we need you on the wing, and we're moving you up in the lineup. I said this before, right after the first pre-tournament game, the only pre-tournament game Montreal played, I said, I like the fact that, you know, Max Domi's playing at center, but you got to play him more. And, you know, they haven't done that yet, and I would be moving him up in the lineup, and they definitely need Tatar and Drouin to step up. You and I talked about it when JR was on holiday, talked about Drouin in the first pre-tournament game, and they need more from him. I mean, he's a big-time player for them, and if they don't get more from him offensively, they're not going to win.
The first team facing elimination will be the New York Rangers. Tonight they will host Carolina. The Canes won yesterday 4-1. We don't know whether Shesterkin will be good enough to play tonight, but they have a third option in Gorgiev. At this point, if you're the Rangers, do you try something and replace Lundqvist with Gorgiev at the very least?
I would. It's no disrespect meant to Hank. But, you know, again, that's a soft goal. The first goal can't go in. The short side goal by Svechnikov. That's, you know, it's a hard shot, but that's got to be stopped. It's short side. It's through his body. You can't let pucks like that go in, especially with a young team that's trying to find its way in the playoffs. So I would make a goaltending change. But no, again, I'm not going to disrespect Henrik Lundqvist. I've seen too much good work from him over the years. He deserves, a lot of adulation and respect. But the Rangers, you can see, young team, building, getting better all the time. It's probably not right now. You can see Carolina from last year's playoff battles, especially with Washington, how much they learned. And you look at their defense. The addition of Brady Shea has really helped them. The addition of Joel Edmondson has really helped them. The addition of Sammy Vatanen has really helped them. So you add those three guys to a defense that went to the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs last year. That's pretty good. That's really good.
Pittsburgh and obvious, but if you are the Washingtons, the Bostons, the Phillies, and the Tampas, are you getting a little nervous about facing Carolina in round one?
Yeah, I would. I don't think it's easy. Brindamore is a really good coach. Mrazek played very well in the playoffs the last 2 years. He's been very good so far this year again. So I would not want to be in a rush. They have one of the best defensemen in terms of mobility. They still haven't played Dougie Hamilton. So I think that when you look at it, they're a good team. And Sebastian Aho is legit. This guy's a big-time good player. He's really good.
And they could get, if they go as long as September, which sounds crazy to say, but Brett Pesce could be back as well if they play hockey into September, which is just really odd.
That's a great point, by the way, Jared. Very, he's an overlooked player. He's a very good player, Finn. Very good point.
A couple of the seeding games went yesterday. Tampa beat Washington in a shootout. Mm-hmm. Vegas over Dallas with a big comeback in the third period. Again, this is just me through my television. You're actually in the rink. Is there as much intensity in those round robin games as in the play-in games, in your opinion, early on?
Not really. No, I don't see that. I see the playoff series have been far more intensity. The Vegas-Dallas game started out a little bit intense and it backed off, and then when Vegas needed a push, it got intense again. So I would say the one thing that, and Vegas has the one line with Ryan Reeves and Willie Carrier and Thomas Nosek that is not a lot of fun to play against, so they can get after people. So they started pushing back a little bit physically as the game went along, but I would say those play-in games are not as intense as the playoff series that we're seeing.
Any read into Leonard starting as to who might start round one of the playoffs for Vegas in goal?
No, I think that speaks to what JR was talking about. I think they're still doing a little bit of test driving with some of these lineups, and Robin deserved an opportunity to play in the IFP at DeBoer and his staff, and so he got that chance. Fleury seemed very comfortable and affable on the bench watching him, so I don't think there are any issues there.
Boston lost their exhibition game and then lost their first round-robin game versus Philly the other day. They are going to get, looks like, Tuukka Rask back for their game tomorrow. But is there a team that maybe was hurt most by the long layoff than Boston, which had such a great regular season, had a huge lead in the overall standings, 4.5-month pause, boom, you really get, other than, you know, kind of getting a play-in bye, you really don't get any advantage. Is there a team that's been maybe hurt more so far, at least, than Boston?
Yeah, no, they're a bit of an older roster too. There's no question. Everybody's kind of nitpicking on Tuukka Rask and the goaltending situation in Boston. I think let's see where it all plays out at the end. It's a little early to prejudge anything. I don't know how healthy Brad Marchand is. Pasternak obviously having issues because of the corona virus and everything else. That was an issue for them. It kind of messed with their chemistry. But I would say that's a fair point, because the Bruins were a team that was really in rhythm and playing at an unbelievably high level before we got to the pause, for sure. I would agree with that.
Because of that veteran pedigree, though, is that the one team that can turn it on? And in this case, you know, turn it on come first round versus some other clubs?
Yeah, that's why I don't want to prejudge them. I think it's more than fair that you have to respect the fact that they went to a Stanley Cup final last year, Game 7 that they lost. They have a winning pedigree. They've got guys who really know how to push the right buttons. I would say that I wouldn't, again, be in a panic mode if I were the Boston Bruins or their fan base.
4 o'clock this afternoon, Game 2, Columbus and Toronto. The Blue Jackets won Game 1, 2-0. If you're Toronto, do you change anything, or you just say, hey, listen, we played a good game. But for one bad goal, we could have taken that game? Or do you think that he'll start moving some lines around? There's been some talk of moving Marner on to align with Matthews. What do you do if you're Sheldon Keefe, do you think, this afternoon?
Well, number one, I'm trying to take care of Seth Jones because he's doing the number on Austin Matthews. So I'd put a little bit of sandpaper and grit and get after him a little bit rather than him getting after my guy. I want him to be worn out. I don't want my guy being worn out. So I need a little bit of a plow horse mentality. It's not really the way the Leafs are built, but it's becoming that kind of a series, and it's what I thought would happen because of the way John Tortorella coaches and the systems that he deploys. He makes it really tough for you to get to the net, so you need a little bit more of a smash-mouth mentality. Again, I don't know if the Leafs are built that way, but that's something I would try to encourage in my lineup. I would do more of short-side shoot-ins, create foot race situations with their defense. They're bigger people. They'll get tired. They'll get worn out. Don't make it easy for them to go back and get the puck so that the goalie's playing the puck and setting it up for the D. Make the goalies or the defenseman have to go to the corners to get pucks rather than behind the net. So that's one of the adjustments that I would make. And I think the biggest thing is I would really put a huge emphasis on faceoffs. The reason being Columbus probably likes to stall the play a little bit in their own zone in particular, so they're more faceoffs. Put a huge emphasis on winning faceoffs and having set faceoff plays in the offensive zone. If you could do those things, I think it might loosen things up a little bit for the Stars. But they've got to get a little bit more of a nasty edge to them. Talking about their star players in Toronto.
If you're Leafs, would you get creative? Maybe have Gauthier grow a Austin Matthews style mustache and run a bit of a decoy. Some confusion? No. Okay, let's be serious now. To the hardness point, though, do you go to the Nylanders? And Marner, a couple of years ago, we applauded his sandpaper against Boston. Is it quite simply starting to now challenge some of these guys?
Well, that's what I mean. You got to internally bring them in. And one of the things that I learned over time is you don't do that in a team environment situation. You do that with individual meetings, and you bring the guy in and show him some tape of, okay, look, here's where I think you need to be harder. Here's where I think you can help us. Rather than make it a negative exercise, you make it a positive exercise, and you don't do it in front of teammates. You don't humiliate the guy in a playoff series in front of his teammates.
It's been a lot of penalties so far. It's anecdotal on my part. I don't have a stat in front of me that says there's more or less than any other playoff, but do you get the sense that referees right now are calling it close? Do you think they'll ease off, or do you think this is a mandate to really crack down throughout the entire playoff?
I think they're calling it really close, and I think there's a mandate to call it close all the way through. Now, human nature kicks in at some point, and usually by the second or third round, we start to see it going back in the old way, the standard going where it's harder to get a penalty than it is to take one. But right now, the standard is really difficult, and they're calling it unbelievably close.
And to that, Pierre, is that smart on the league side? Defense is going to get tired, power plays will improve, and quite simply, we should see more goals based on that?
You say all of the above, I would agree with you. The one caveat to that, and again, three games a day in the summer in these buildings, I know there are no fans, but the one caveat to that is the condition of the ice long term. Right now, it's not a problem, even though I found last night in the third game that I did that the ice started to deteriorate a little bit. It's the same thing where I could tell you from the Minnesota-Vancouver game, not at the beginning, but near the middle part of the second period of the third period, the ice was not as good, and I talked to players about it, and they said the same thing. So that's the only caveat. It's harder to run a power play on bad ice than it is on good ice, but the ice has not been terrible, and it has not been an issue yet, but we'll see long-term. That's my only caveat to that.
All right, good stuff. On that note, we'll let you go. You got another big day ahead today with six more games, including the game you'll do, the nightcap for everybody, which is Minnesota-Vancouver after the Wild won Game 1. Always appreciate the time and the insight, Pierre. Have a great day, and look forward to chatting with you again tomorrow.
Nice having you back, JR.